Blog Talk Radio.
Here's what the budget should look like, but you need to have a part of this. We started working together. You know, that whole experience, that whole process brought a new level of intimacy to our marriage. We said, you know what, once we started communicating about money, you know, the light dispelled the darkness. So there was no way that we were going to make it work while I was carrying the load by myself.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt Free Divas, and I love talking about all things as they relate to your money. Today, we're digging back into the Midday Money Show archives and pulling out another great debt-free story from a conversation with Jose Figueroa. Jose is the founder of Figueroa Financial, and he blogs in both Spanish and English, which was my first time speaking with a bilingual personal finance expert. From Jose's own words, he and his family were the typical American family, a great income, but nothing to show for it. Can you relate to that at all? Well, one of the things that Jose really stresses in this was just how much his family was involved in the process of getting out of debt. He was married at the time when we first recorded this back in 2014, just reached our 10-year anniversary, two sons, and it was a challenge. It was a process for, you know, they had to go through the process of changing their habits, learning to manage the money better, learning to work together as a team. I'm glad that I still have this. You can tell it's a little older, a little staticky, and if you can look beyond some of the static, I think you'll really enjoy Jose's story and get a lot of encouragement for your own process of dumping debt. All links mentioned in today's episode, Living the Debt-Free Side of Life, will be available on my website, debtfreedivas.org. Are you ready, folks? Let's get into it.
I love to get to the meat of the story. How much debt did you pay off and how long did it take you?
We paid almost $50,000 in consumer debt, and it took us 29 months.
29 months, so 2.5 years. What prompted you? Now, this is you and your wife together. You've been married for how many years?
We have been married just a little over 10 years now. This past March was our 10th year anniversary.
So it
was the two of us plus my stepson from her previous marriage. And he was close to being a high school senior when we got married. So he was just starting his senior year.
So everybody was kind of involved, or let me ask you this, was everybody involved in this process?
At first, you know, the way I started, I got tired of having a great income, but had nothing to show for it.
Okay.
You know, we were like the average typical family in America. We were living paycheck to paycheck. I was using credit cards to make ends meet each month. We had no savings for emergencies. Like I said, our son was about to go into college, and I had no idea how we were going to pay for his college. And then we had no saving for retirement. But the worst of it, my wife and I were not talking about money, working on money together. I was paying the bills. I was managing. But she didn't know anything about our finances. She didn't know how much money was coming in, how much we were spending on things. She certainly didn't know how we were making it month to month. So, and, you know, for a while she was happy with that, and I was happy with that. But at the end of the day, you know, I realized we needed some help. I'm a Christian, so I knew we were not managing money the way God wanted us to. So that was my main motivation. It was a spiritual conviction that this is not working, and I needed help. So that's how I got started.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Did your process for managing your household finances start where it sounds like basically you were the one kind of paying attention to the details and your wife kind of left that up to you? Did that process kind of grow out of is it just something where she wasn't very comfortable with the finances, or did you all decide early on you were going to be the one to handle the finances and she would just kind of turn that over to you?
Yeah, I think it was kind of a mutual decision. She really didn't want to get into the details of the money.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't think that, you know, did she care about it as long as she knew how much to spend on basic things like she did the grocery shopping and the clothing. But, you know, that could lead to problems because, I mean, she wasn't involved in the decisions of how much money – you know, how we spend this much on utilities, this is our giving, this is our, you know, here's the house payment, or, you know, she didn't know anything about that. She was just happy to spend the money. So for a while, she was happy to be in the dark because she really didn't care about it. But then I was happy, you know, I'm an engineer, I'm a math person, so I was happy to manage the money even though I wasn't doing a very good job.
Okay. So then let's talk about, I guess, the decision out. Was it you said your faith had an integral part to play in this. You knew you weren't managing your money the way God wanted you to. Was this a kind of a road to Damascus awakening, or was this something that kind of you came to an understanding over a process of time? What was it that made you start to think, okay, I need to look at managing our finances differently?
Well, yeah, it was a combination of things. You know, I kind of went through, in my 20s, I kind of went away a little bit from the things I knew about the faith. And then in my early 30s, I started really studying the Bible more. And the problem with that is once you start doing that, you start getting information and truth, and you can't ignore the truth, right? So the truth will convict you. So the more I knew, I said, you know, I need help. Mm-hmm. So it was a realization, okay, this is a problem. This is not working. We're not getting anywhere. So we have been married 18 months when I thought about that. I prayed that, Lord, I need help. I know I'm not doing a good job. I know we need to do better, and I need help. And a couple of weeks, if not the next week after, I prayed that my church offer a financial peace class, you know, Dave Ramsey's financial peace class, and I signed up for it.
My wife
said, hey, go ahead, sign for it. I've heard of him. I never heard of Dave before that time. This is in 2005. But she had, the class was on Wednesday. She had a convenient conflict. She said, you go take care of it. You go learn, and I'll be happy for you to learn. So she was happy with that for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got started. So I started going to the class and, you know, getting new information. You know, part of the issue is, okay, if what you're doing is not working, you need a new plan. You need somebody and new information. So I went to the class started learning, you know, basics of money management and why you do certain things and this works and this doesn't work. So I started then sharing that information. Hey, this is what I'm learning. Here's how I put a budget together. And then, you know, she started getting more interested. And then, you know, the class, they gave you CDs of the lessons. So mm-hmm. we would put that in the car when we were on the road or whatever. So she was getting the same information. So little by little, she started getting more integrated into the discussion. So that's how we got started together. Yeah.
Now, do you think that was your wife, she'd heard of Dave Ramsey before, and she was okay with you going. Was there any pushback to making the changes that you guys were learning about, or was this kind of process of learning something that you guys kind of accepted equally?
We accepted equally. I think her because of bad experiences with money, she said, I don't want to do it because I'm not good, you know, I've done it. I don't want to deal with it. I know I hate bills. I hate the details. You know, that was the thing, is that so there was some pushback. And once she started going, learning what I was learning, she always tells me, see, I don't want you to know more about anything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want you to know something I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what got her attention. And, you know, and she started seeing the result run. She knew I was serious about it. She knew I was applying what I was learning, so she knew that. And then she got on board. You know, the thing is, the message of money management, the principles, the foundations, they're common sense. So it's stuff you know,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, so it's like exercise or diet. Everybody knows it's good for you to eat healthy and exercise more, but not everybody does it, right?
Right.
It's common sense. So this was the same thing. So we both were ready at the same time to say, okay, this is not working. This is what we are. This is where we're going.
Okay.
You know, once we opened that conversation about, and I opened the books and said, okay, here's where we are, here's how much money we know, here's what the budget should look like, but you need to have a part of this, we started working together. You know, that whole experience, that whole process brought a new level of intimacy to our marriage. I said, you know what, once we started communicating about money, you know, the light dispelled the darkness. And so there was no way that we were going to make it work while I was carrying the load by myself
mm-hmm.
and she didn't know.
Okay.
Now that everything was on the table, it was a very easy conversation, and that helped us in other areas of our marriage. You know, our communication is great, and, you know, it's because we took that step at the right time to say, okay, let's work on this money thing together, because, you know, we both have to have a vote, we both have an opinion, And we both have an interest in how this works.
This episode is sponsored by Personal Capital, a free online tool that helps you keep track of your personal finances, folks. Track your spending, manage your investments, and keep up with everything through their secure mobile app. You can support the Midday Money Show and take advantage of this fabulous free tool by creating a free account with Personal Capital. Head over to debtfreedivas.org/personal and we'll show you the way.
I think that's amazing that both of you were able to kind of come on board, you know, at your own time, and it seems like that your own times happen to kind of match each other. That's fantastic. But what kind of advice would you give to somebody who is married and one person has kind of seen the light, but the partner has not, and they're, you know, somewhere in between, just ambivalent to resistant to making the change? What kind of advice would you give to that person to kind of help bring their spouse or their partner along on this journey?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tony, and that's a question that, you know, in marriages, that's, you know, working together is key. But I think what I tell people is that tell me the why before you tell me the what and the how. Because, you know, why is it that you want to go do this? And whatever the method is, it doesn't have to be a particular method, but let's say the goal is we want to get our finances in order. Why? So you need to find out what your why is, and then the what and the how you'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we want to get control of our money? Why do we want to get out of debt? And, you know, there could be many reasons. You say, you know, maybe you're tired of carrying debt, like I was. I said, I'm sick of paying interest. And, you know, or you want to be able to plan for the future. There are other things you want to do. Maybe you want to buy a home, or you want to move to a bigger home, or you want to move closer to family. Or, you know, you want to leave a legacy for your kids, and you want to make sure your kids, you know, have a good college education, that they have a stable financial future. And you want to leave them better than when you're going to have a better future for them. So once you find out that why, it will trigger. So just trying to explain it, you know, today I will tell a hustler, say, you know, today we can't do this because we have this much money going out in debt. Or, you know, if you want that bigger home, but, you know, we're not in a position to do it. Or you worry about what might happen if something breaks, or we don't have an emergency fund. So it's those kind of things. It's sell the why, peace of mind, options, a better future, a legacy. And I think when you put it in those terms, most people that, you know, with common sense, say, okay, I get it now, so how do we do it? So I think that's a big key.
Okay. So you were able, you guys kind of really revved it up there. You paid off $50,000 in 2.5 years. What was the most challenging part of kind of retiring that debt and staying committed to the process?
Well, the key thing for us was, you know, is getting on a budget. You know, when we started, all the money was coming in and everything was going out, and we didn't know where the money was going. We didn't know where we were overextending ourselves. Once you start putting a budget that says, okay, this is our spending plan for the month, this is how much we're going to spend, and you manage it. So what that does is your income kind of gets under control, so you can do more with the income. So that was one thing. But we have to do it every month. We have to say, okay, here's the budget for every month. We're going to stick to that budget, and if we have to change it, we can have an objective discussion. So, well, we'll move it here and there. And it helped us gain some insights of, well, we're overspending. For us, eating out was a big problem, right? So we said, okay, we're overspending there every month, or groceries.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so having a budget that showed me that every month, so, okay, that's what our problem is, so we can come back. We started using cash for some things. You know, I tell people, you know, there are some categories in your budget that spending, using cash is better because you control the spending. And for us, our experience with food and eating out, I mean, groceries and eating out, that was the issue for us. So we use cash for those. But I think the biggest thing was just learn to say no. So, you know, when I was in my 20s and early 30s, I said, you know, if I want something, I'll just put it on the credit card and pay it on convenient payments. If I want a big screen TV, I'll get it now. If I want a new car, I'll put it on payments. But, you know, we have to learn to say, you know, there are some things that we'll have to wait because we're not going to use debt anymore. We have to force ourselves to stop using debt to solve any problem we have. And that's
let me jump in here real quick because you say that, and I think that's so key. You have to learn how to say no, but it does seem like it's easier said than done, right? Learning
it
to
is,
say no.
It is.
So how did you actually put that into practice?
Well,
especially if you're used
to
buying whatever you want when you want it, and like you say, paying those convenient payments and taking care of your wants right away. How do you go from, you know, taking care of your wants right away to saying, you know what, nope, this is not something I'm going to do with my money right now?
Yeah, it was going back to that why. I said, you know, if I really want to change what I'm doing, you know, a big screen TV today is not a want. I can't live with my 19-inch today. You know, I can't watch the game there. It's not ideal, but I can't watch the game there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a brand new car right now. I don't need to change my cars every 2 years because I have bigger goals in mind. I really want to buy something more important, and I want to travel. I want to go see family. You know, so I think for us it was, okay, what is it? Is it a want? Is it a need? And doesn't mean you can't have the need, the want, because we do. But we have to really force ourselves, you know, we're going to save for that one. You know, Christmas is a big example. Like you mentioned, I'm from Puerto Rico, and I go, if I don't go see my mom every year, she removes me from the will. So there's a living threat. I said, I have to go. So, okay, uh-huh. But, you know, what I used to do was, well, we'll pay. We'll put the trip on credit card.
Okay.
I said, okay, you know what? That is not going to work. So, you know, one of the things we had to do, for example, was there were some years that only I could travel. Stacy couldn't. My wife couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, we only have enough money saved for one ticket. So, okay, so you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, in some cases, you know, it's cheaper to bring your hair here, spend Christmas with us. So we did that. So you have to make trade-offs all the time. So if you have the why in mind and you have your goal, then you'll be able to say no because you have a reason for it. But, you know, it's not easy. It's a process. It's like any habit. So you know what? No, because I'm doing this. This is more important. So I can say no to that purchase today, and I can say no to the credit card because, you know what? I just have something bigger that I'm shooting for.
Okay.
So that's how we did it, you know. But, you know, we have been in this journey over a little over 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it gets easier the longer you stick with it. And when you see results. For us, seeing the results of, you know, we pay the debt. Hey, I don't have to go borrow to make up ends meet for the month. Oh, yeah. The first time I paid for a car repair with cash I had, not with a credit card, that was a huge thing for me. It was something inside me. Change. I said, you know, actually, this thing can work.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Now you blog in both Spanish and English. Okay, which is something unique. This is my first time actually running across a blogger that is bilingual. So this is a kind of a unique opportunity for me. Are there any challenges with handling money that are unique to the Spanish speaking community that you know?
I think there is some. There is some. You know, I think. One of the things, and not that every culture is not the way, but the Hispanic community is very, first and foremost, very family oriented, and that has, to them, family is everything, right? So,
mm-hmm.
So there are two examples where that shows up. You know, the thing is, because you're that family oriented, you want to involve heavily in each other's lives.
Okay.
So, you know, so you want to make every birthday celebration or every wedding or every holiday you want to spend together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, if you don't show up, so, well, you know, it's hard to say no because the pressure is, well, everybody's going to be here,
mm-hmm.
you know. But every time you have a celebration like that, even if it's a road trip between San Antonio or Houston and Dallas, it is
mm-hmm.
a road trip. It's
mm-hmm.
gas.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to stay in a hotel. And if there's a birthday, you know, there is gift expenses. So now, you can do it if you plan for it, but if you're not careful, if you go through everything, that can wreck your budget, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, you want to help. You want to be there. You want to be family. So that's one thing. The second issue is, or example is, whenever a family member needs money, you're compelled to help with money. And sometimes you feel either obligated either to give it or to lend it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, how many times do you do that? What are the boundaries? Are you really helping the person by giving them the money? We made a thing we do. We don't lend money to anybody because we don't want to be in a slave-master relationship with a family member or a friend we love.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can help, we can. But, you know, defining help. So I think that's the challenge. You want to help? Well, they need money. Or they're going to cut their lights. Or, they're going to evict them, you know. Or, you know, well, they have to fix the car. or they're going to lose the car, for example. They're going to repo the car. So, you know, that kind of pressure is there. So the boundaries is critical. So I think that's one challenge. Is that, well, family comes first, and that means whatever you need to do, you do for family regardless of what happens. So the challenge is, okay, what does that mean to my own household? Can I still stay to my plan and not affect my plan while I help them, right? And, you know, speaking about saying no, if you think saying no to yourself is hard, saying no to a family member, you know, say, well, yeah, in family, you got to help them. Well, no, I really don't. Mm-hmm. You know, that's hard. I think that's a big challenge.
Okay. That's interesting. It definitely, you know, some of those things I think we don't necessarily talk about, but definitely probably something a lot of us can relate to, you know, the pressure to help others. And then what does helping, you know, exactly what does help really look like? Is it always just getting money?
Mm-hmm.
I think
exactly
that's something we have to answer. So let's talk about your son a bit. So you have the son that's almost in high school, about the time that you guys are going to make some pretty drastic changes to your lifestyle, right? How much in the process was your son involved in terms of paying off the debt and the budgeting? How much did you involve him, or how much, you know, do you advise people to involve their children?
I think you need to bring him into the conversation, you know, age appropriate, what you're doing, right? Because they're going to be impacted by what you do, you know. So you're talking about little kids, school age kids or teenagers, or like our son was about to be a senior. He said, okay, you need to know why we're doing this, right? You know, we have been doing this to this point, but we're on a plan, and we're going to do something different, and this is what that means, right? So I think you have to involve them. You have to be open. Again, explain to them why you're doing certain things appropriately for their age. In our case, you know, one of the things we did, you know, I was so blessed by the class I took, and, you know, you can become a coordinator and share that. So my wife and I, we coordinated 5 classes at our church. Mm-hmm. So we had all the materials. We were watching the DVDs at home. We were preparing for the classes. We were answering questions. So at some point, he thought Dave Ramsey moved in with us, right? So he said, well, you know, I think he just moved in with you people. So, but, you know, he learned. You know, one of the last things I had with him before he moved out was, okay, let me show you. Here's your budget. Here's what you do. You're having this much. This is the budget I've used, so I want you to use it. And he knows where we stand. So he knew the stand we took. When it came time for college, we helped him with the decision. You know, the question was, how are we going to pay for college? Well, at first I thought, well, you know, when we started the journey, before we made some drastic changes, I said, well, then maybe we'll take a loan for him so he doesn't have the loans. But, you know, the more I went into it, I said, no, we're not going to borrow more money for that kind of thing. We're not going to do that anymore. So how are we going to do it? So, you know, God provided me, and we sold some things to pay for that first semester of college.
Mm-hmm.
He had some, his grandparents had a little money saved, so he covered that. So, you know, one of the things he did, he went to a community college. There's nothing wrong with that. Community college is a great option to start, to say, okay, I'm going to get my basics done before I go into the 4-year college. So we did that, and then managed. So gave us a little time to save more, right? So we're going to save 2K. Then he went to a state school. Well, state schools tend to be more affordable than a private school. So, you know, school choice, a local school, and, you know, and then the third thing was he worked. You know, he was part of the process because he worked. We covered tuition. His grandparents helped a bit, but he worked hard. He had a part-time job at the church, and he worked hard. And he covered books and supplies. He was an art major in photography, so his supplies were expensive every semester, but he covered that. So he went through it, but the thing is, we made a commitment. We're not going to borrow money, so we're going to have to do something else. So we're going to, you're going to work. We're going to choose the right college, help you choose the right college and the right approach. And, you know, he graduated with a degree. He's gainfully employed and doing great. And he did it without debt. So he's 27 now on his own and doing great. But we made a commitment that he wasn't going to borrow money. And, you know, not everybody has all the same time, but there are options other than taking a loan. So that's how we did it.
Fantastic. Do you think that this is a really loaded question, and we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to just get your brief opinion on this. Do you think parents should feel obligated to pay for their children's college education?
You know, I think obligation is a strong word. I think parents should, they should help as much as they can to the college education. But as long as they're not wrecking their future, I would not tell a parent, sacrifice your retirement savings to pay for college. There's got to be a better way, right? You want to help, but there's nothing wrong with a kid working to pay for college. And you know that you have to evaluate your situation, and you're not a child abuser if you don't pay for college.
Right.
You can't save. I mean, my mom, I remember my own experience, my mom saved, but, you know, I took advantage of financial aid. I didn't borrow money. I worked when I had the opportunity through college. She had some money saved, but we managed by making some of the same choices. I mean, stay at school, save money, you know, don't waste money in doing things. So we did that. So, and I'm very thankful for everything my mom and my stepdad did and my dad to pay me, to get me through college. But I wouldn't consider them any less loving if they didn't pay, because I knew the reality of what we were. That situation. So no, if you can, sure. Anything you can do to help your kid's life get to a strong start, but I don't think it's a 100% obligation all the time if your financial situation doesn't allow it. So you have to be realistic with where you are.
Right, right.
You know, I think that's the situation. You have to be very realistic. And, you know, it's hard as parents, you know, we want to give our kids everything, right? You said, you know, I want him or her to have what I didn't have. And there is a danger. There is a boundary that you can cross. I say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give them everything they have, the school they want, at my own peril. And I think that's the danger you have to be careful with.
Wow. Well, you get no argument there from me. So, you know, these conversations just tend to be so interesting to me. Again, just seeing how different people, different walks of life, different situations can focus on a goal. And in your case, it was $50,000, paying that off, focus on a goal in 2.5 years and achieve that. And so I'm going to go a little long here today, because I want you to talk about, you know, since you've become debt-free, one of the benefits would possibly be being able to help your son pay for his college education. But let's talk about maybe another enjoyable part about being debt-free.
Well, you know, being debt free gives you options, options you don't have. When a large portion of your monthly income is tied up with debt obligations, you can't use that money for other things. So for us, you know, we were able to quickly put savings aside. And my wife will tell you that having an emergency fund that covers 6 months is a great, 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 great peace of mind. So, you know, we were able to save. So peace of mind is a great benefit. The second is, you know, you can do things that you couldn't do before. We now save for vacations. We do those things because we can do it now. So we put them off for a while, but now we can do it. But the biggest thing for us, you know, now that we don't have that, now that we're in a stronger financial position, well, we're in a better position to give and to help others when we need to. Mm-hmm. So when the opportunity comes and I want to help somebody and we want to help somebody, whether it's church or some organization or some disaster relief, or a friend or family member that needs the help, we can do it. And that's the biggest blessing. And to me, that's the best reason to get out of debt and get your money under control, so you can be in a position to help others. You can't help anybody when you're weak. When you're strong, you're in a position to help the weak.
And now it's the portion of our show where I get to spend a little QT with you, Team Debt Free. So I have a question here, a good one, I think, from Angie, and I'm going to play it for you, and then we'll talk about my thoughts afterwards.
Hello, my name is Angie, and I want to know if I'm current on all my bills. However, my month-to-month is very tight. Considering filing bankruptcy, because I just don't feel like I can get from underneath this debt and live any type of lifestyle, what would you suggest? Is it wrong to file for bankruptcy, especially if I'm current on my debt, or should I just kind of stop paying on stuff and just file bankruptcy? And the weight of this debt I'm carrying monthly is going to get to me. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. So first of all, let me just say thanks, Angie, for leaving your question on our voicemail. I really appreciate it. And I think it's a really good question and one that probably many, many people have as well. So let me approach your question this way. Before you make any decisions about whether or whether not to file for bankruptcy, that's first, you speak with a independent third party, not a bankruptcy attorney or not somebody that's trying to sell you a bankruptcy program. Somebody a nonprofit credit counselor or somebody that you find in your area, you can go on a website, nfcc.org. That is the National Foundation of Credit Counselors. That's nfcc.org. These are nonprofit organizations. A lot of times you can have an initial consultation with